Andre situation is something that we'll deal with this summer. I don't want to say anything that in regards to that. James and I are going to have conversations about the team in general.
The reason it's a pinch point is because, as you said, McMahon, they found out that, you know, A, they probably need to improve. They weren't good enough despite being 64-win team. And B, that they maybe rely too much on Chris Paul. And so that's a big reality, because you start to say to yourself, well, how do you get better with a team that is already so established and that doesn't have a simple path to getting better?
Monty Williams, last Monday after the Suns' exit from the NBA playoffs, talking about DeAndre Ayton's situation. That was Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective podcast, talking about a pinch point. Maybe the Ayton spat with Monty Williams could serve to be that. I think Brian Windhorst hit on some very interesting things there. We were, in hindsight, in Phoenix, Arizona, I think we were blinded by the regular season. With the way the Suns just attacked every single game, well, almost every single game, I started thinking about those two games that one weekend, the Friday night game in Memphis and the Sunday game in Oklahoma City at the end of the year,
yeah,
where they were
bad.
Playing against nobody.
Yeah. Until the last 2 weeks of the season.
And they lost both. Yeah. But, you know, you brush those under the rug for a second. But they blinded us with the way they attacked the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it gets very interesting. They do need to get better. Are there questions from the Suns organization on whether or not DeAndre Ayton deserves a max contract with what he has done for this team? And, you know, look at the way he's used, offensively especially. You can make a big argument for no. You're not paying max money, $35 million, to a guy who's not a creator offensively. Can he be a creator offensively? I don't think we know the answer to that question. I would say probably not.
Well, yeah.
But also what Brian Windhorst said, too, I think this was a real slap in the face in terms of, hey, we do rely on a 36, 37-year-old point guard way too much.
Yeah,
and when he's not there for us, that's the result.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of validity in that, especially if there's two elements that really need to be explained to me, and I think a lot of Suns fans are in alignment with this. Number one, what happened to Chris Paul that sort of completely marginalized his performance against the Mavs? And then B, what exactly is bothering DA, and when exactly did it start? Because when you look at his performances down the stretch, there was a lot of zoning out. And if you believe the Flex from Jersey report that he's been talking about this, about wanting to be elsewhere, then those conversations obviously helped create helped take down what was great chemistry. So the question becomes then, what is his mindset, and does he even want to be here? If the Suns came to him and said, okay, here, DA, here's your 5-year max contract, of course he would sign it. But I don't think that the Suns are in that position. I think they would let some other team sign him to an offer sheet, and then they get him for four. But if DeAndre Ayton doesn't want to be here, which seems shocking to me, because he doesn't strike me as that dude. I mean, to be the guy in the NBA, to be a shot creator, you've got to be able to handle the basketball at a level that you don't need people to feed you the ball to score.
Yeah, I mean, he gets compared on that front, and look at some of the guys that are making the max. Jokic, creator. Karl Anthony Towns, not a fan, but a creator.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid, creator. Bam Adebayo is a max contract guy. I'm watching the Heat play the Celtics, and Adebayo's bringing the ball up at a backcourt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, again, and so there are limitations in his game, but at the same time, we all have seen it. His ceiling is ridiculously high, and there's times when he touches it, and he's gotten better every year. So why wouldn't you invest in him? What
because
else
the money is better invested elsewhere.
Well okay, because
that's a tricky question. How much is this owner willing to spend? Who is the owner going to be? And how deep are they going to go into the luxury tax? If the Suns decided to sign Cam
Cam
Johnson. If they decided to sign Cam Johnson and DeAndre Ayton, they would be knee deep in luxury tax, and it just gets worse.
It'd be neck deep.
The deeper you go, the more punitive it becomes. And then if you're in it for a couple years running, it becomes even more punitive. And so if you're looking to lock up a young core of Devin Booker, Cam Johnson, DeAndre Ayton, and keep Chris Paul at the number he is here, you're looking at a number in luxury tax that, you know, that Robert Sarver, based on his history, is not going to pay.
No, and that's what people around the league are saying, too. Now, he has gone on record and said we expect to be luxury taxpayers, mm-hmm. but there's levels of it.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
What the L.A. Clippers pay in luxury tax is like $60 million mm-hmm. is what they paid last year.
Oh, yeah.
But we're talking about Steve Ballmer, mm-hmm. one of the richest men in the world.
Yep.
Robert Sarver has money. He doesn't have Steve Ballmer money. Bill Simmons on his podcast says, yeah, I can't see Suns ownership going that far into the tax.
Phoenix is $129 million before they deal with Ayton next year. Caps one going to be $122. They'll be in the luxury tax. They have Booker making 34 next year and 36 the year after. They have Bridges at 21, 22, 23, 25. They have CP3 at 28.4 next year, 30.8 the year after that. They're paying Crowder, Sarge, Payne, and Shamit a combined like $35 million.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Cam Johnson coming up in a year. So you have a financial opportunity to try to get Ayton from them because I just don't think Sarver is going to pay money like that. Now, who knows if he's the owner in a year, but he's shown the history he's never going to do it.
Yeah, he's right. You can't argue with that.
No.
And then you can consider, well, wouldn't this be the time to do it? If you're Robert Sarver and you're allowed to keep this basketball team by the NBA, wouldn't it be a good thing to do if you wanted to repair any damaged reputation? I don't know. But again,
it's easy to say from the outside because it's not our money. I mean, he could look at it.
They've made a lot of money for the last 10 years.
Absolutely.
If you go and look at their profit margins while not making the playoffs, you'd be quite surprised. And you look at how profitable this team has been the last couple of years, the merchandise they've sold.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's not a matter of do I have it, it's do I want to spend it? Do I want to lose that much money in pursuit of a championship? It's not for everybody. There's only five guys. I talked to somebody about this. Said this is your owner in Phoenix is not atypical to the NBA. There's only about five guys who would go to that level of losses to win a championship, and your guy in Phoenix is not one of them. We know that. We've lived it.
Yeah, there's so many questions on this roster, too, though. You look at, you know, the nine guys under contract. They have three unrestricted free agents that I think one of them would be considered to be brought back, and that's JaVale McGee, but I don't think that's a certainty. I don't think you'll see Elfrid Payton or Bismack Biyombo here. They've got three guys on expiring contracts in Crowder, Šarić, and Craig.
Right.
I would be shocked if all three of those – I'd be shocked if two of those guys were back because those expiring contracts have value around
yes.
the league.
And then the other guys, Cam Payne and Landry Shamet, that are under contract, do you feel that great about those two guys with 2 years left?
At those numbers, no, because they're combining to make like $16 million next year, and they didn't get $16 million worth of production from them.
No.
And I'm real curious to see what happens with Cam Johnson, too. I know they love him. And I know the comp was, hey, what did Mikal Bridges get the summer before?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Cam Johnson getting $20 million annually, do you?
No, but that might be a Christian Kirk kind of deal eventually where somebody will.
Maybe. That's a good way to put the Christian Kirk deal. Just somebody comes in and just blows up the
yeah.
market.
Yeah, so the bottom line is you're not going to get to an NBA championship subtracting. You just lost to the Mavericks in the semifinals. You didn't even get back to the conference finals. You're not going to get further next year by subtracting.
So you're saying keep it together?
Listen, unless somebody's got a better alternative.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't let DeAndre Ayton go just and then start fishing.
True. I mean, your paths are keep it together or blow it up. You can't tinker. Tinkering won't work, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it.
And I'm not, I mean,
I think that's a good way of putting it.
Not all that confident about bringing it back together for a third run with the same core, but we'll see. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, A lot of people in the around the NFL believe it's going to be a big step back for the Arizona Cardinals, including one very prominent NFL writer. We'll tell you who said what next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings,
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Monday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. Hope you had a great weekend. We're back at it, and so are the Arizona Cardinals, reporting to voluntary OTAs. At least we think most of the team will be. We'll keep an eye out on the Kyler Murray question, whether or not the quarterback for the Cardinals shows up on day one of voluntary OTAs. But big picture, I think,
and I'm sure, Vinny, I'm sure, even though there's like open media portions today at what, 10:55,
I think the window was.
You know our TV guys are going to be perched out in that parking lot.
Yep.
Waiting for the Kyler Mobile to roll in.
There might even be something that leaks beforehand from like Schefter where it's like,
right.
Because last time around, remember, it was like he does not plan to show up and this was communicated to the team for a while and stuff like that.
Yeah. I said it earlier in the show, and I do believe this to be honest and true, that this is... Today is the day that we are going to begin our shift of focus to the Arizona Cardinals. We've got a long, hot summer ahead, but I do think that in terms of the biggest stories that are going to command our attention from a communal standpoint, it's nothing bigger than Kyler Murray right now.
Until Aiden gets traded.
Shut up, Jared! but what I'm in terms of... It's the Phoenix Suns and it's the Arizona Cardinals. They are 1 and 2 or 1A and 1B, however you want to look at it. And there's been a lot of drama with both teams. The Cardinals now are coming back. When the Suns come back next season, they're going to be in the same spot the Cardinals are right now, having to make good for a very traumatizing playoff performance.
Yeah, but
and today's the beginning of that. Mm-hmm. And if Kyler Murray doesn't show up today, that run back gets off on a less than harmonious beginning.
Yes.
No matter what they say to you.
But with all the comparisons, and there are a lot to be made, and the similarities, there's a pretty deep list of similarities between the two teams. Where the Suns need to veer off is they have to have a much better offseason than what the Cardinals had, at least in most people's eyes. It was at best a perplexing offseason in terms of what they lost, in terms of what they tried to bring in to fill those gaps. And, you know, here we are. Yes, it's only May 23rd and it's day one of voluntary OTAs, but you're still asking questions about pass rush. Mm-hmm. You're still asking questions about corner. You're still asking questions about the quarterback as well. Which will all be answered at some point. It has led to a belief around by most experts that this will be a step back season for the Arizona Cardinals. Again, they were 7-0 at one point last year, 10-2, best team in the league, faded down the stretch for a second straight year. Peter King, this morning in his Football Morning in America column on NBCSports.com, he did his version of power rankings. Now, this is after all the offseason maneuvering, and this is after the draft. So we have a pretty good idea for all 32 teams what these rosters are going to look like. So put it this way. There was 14 teams that made the NFL playoffs last year. The Cardinals were one of them. So they should be top 14 by default, right? No. He's got them at number 22. He writes, something doesn't feel right about the 2022 Cards. Part of it is the pointed dissatisfaction of quarterback Kyler Murray and his agent over a new contract. Part is the 6-game suspension of the best player on the offense, DeAndre Hopkins, to start the season. That means Hopkins will miss at least 13 games over 2021 and 2022. Hollywood Brown arrives and trades to buttress the receiving core, but Christian Kirk left in free agency, as did the most dangerous player on defense, pass rusher Chandler Jones. It's an odd vibe around the team, and the attitude of negotiations with Murray this summer will tell a lot about the chemistry of the locker room coming up training camp.
I wonder where he's getting that vibe. I'm not saying he's wrong. I wonder where he's picking that up. Maybe just putting the pieces together about Kyler's unhappiness and what it all means.
Do you feel a weird vibe around this team?
Kind of.
I do too.
Yeah, and I think it's just this disconnect where we keep being told everything is awesome. It's like that dude from the Lego movie. What was his name again, Jarrett? Go back to bed, Jarrett.
Because I don't remember the guy's name from the Lego movie. I'm sorry.
Didn't you know it last time you were asked?
Yes, Emmett. Emmett something. Right. Emmett was the guy. Emmett was the guy.
I only saw the movie once.
Yeah. So, right. So I think maybe it's this idea that when you hear Steve Keim and others laughing about the media overreaction to things, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, come on. You've as Peter King pointed out, there's X amount of talent you've lost and have not replaced.
Yeah.
And maybe it's also the J.J. Watt, as much as we love J.J., trolling the critics and the media about Kyler Murray, even though we know that's very real. We knew that from Eric Burkhart, mm-hmm. that it's very real. So, I do. I just wonder how Peter King is picking up on that. Being a national,
he's dialed in.
Talking to somebody. Yeah,
yeah, he's dialed in. All right, so if they're at number 22, where does the rest of the division come in Peter King's eyes? He's got the Rams lower than most people do. I mean, that's the defending Super Bowl champion. He's got them at number 4, which is still high.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco at number 10, Cardinals 22, but only 3 spots ahead of Seattle.
Yeah.
Who's in a total rebuild.
Right.
But that might illustrate just how weird the vibe Peter King is picking up is.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. It's for the 49ers, with their limitations at quarterback and their question marks at quarterback, to be ranked that much higher than the Cardinals is quite something.
Yeah, I mean, they've got quarterback questions. They have, Jimmy Garoppolo making a ton of money still on the roster. There's been recent reports of whether or not they believe Trey Lance is ready to start on a full-time basis. They have not resolved the Deebo Samuel question, who might be their most important offensive player.
Yeah.
You could certainly make an argument for that, but they're 12 spots ahead of the Cardinals. Yeah.
But I will say this. If Kyler Murray shows up today and he's an active participant, I think that might begin to change a little bit. I know it would change in my head.
Well, so it'll wash away some of the weird vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's... Again, there's no magic time on the Cardinals or on the calendar for the Cardinals to pay Kyler Murray and get
there
him.
Is. It's between the end of June and the beginning of July.
Yes.
That's when those things happen.
We can't change that calendar.
We can't change that calendar that doesn't exist.
The unwritten calendar.
The unwritten calendar. Yeah. That would be the story of Jared's life, the unwritten calendar.
Oh, jeez.
I'm more of a Gary Larson page a day far side calendar.
Right. A rip off sheet. That's exactly right.
Oh, except those
well
are
done,
actually
Jared.
Funny. Yeah.
Right.
Man.
I'm kidding. You're hilarious, Jared.
So,
Fridays it's sports news skewered. Mondays it's Jarrett Carlin skewered.
No, listen, I'm trying to cattle prod Jared a little bit. His sports kebab on Friday might have been my favorite of all time.
It was so good.
It's funny,
yeah, it
like
excellent.
The two. 2 weeks in a row, they were just 100% about the Suns and frustration. Those seemed to do well.
Yeah,
yeah.
So this week,
no, you were hitting bombs.
Thank you.
You were throwing haymakers.
In pain, there's comedy to be found.
I was very proud of the way you ended the week, Jared. The rest of it, not so much.
I didn't want to keep the bar too high at the beginning of this week.
Right.
Build up to a strong finish on Friday, man.
Strong finish. That's the way to do it, man.
Coming up, we'll get you caught up on the big stories of the day. Sarah Cazell will take us through the Rush Hour reboot. Spickley and Murata mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Buttress.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Spickley and Murata mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Setting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
It's about that time. 7:30 here on a Monday on Bickley and Murata mornings. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, I am Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley.
Hey.
Vince Murata.
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
It's pretty good.
Wow.
You feeling that way? It's 7:30 on a Monday. It's going to be a long week, brother.
I did not have a drink about an hour ago.
But maybe in an hour. And Jarrett Carlin. This is when we take you through the top stories of the day. Every single day at 7:30. Let's start with the Arizona Cardinals. They move on to the next phase of their offseason today with voluntary OTAs. Voluntary OTAs. They go 3 days this week, 3 days next week, and then I believe 4 days the week after that. So let's just start with the obvious storyline here. Guys, are you expecting to see Kyler Murray walk into the Cardinals facility today?
I don't have a feel one way or another.
My answer is no. Just it doesn't line up with everything else that's been done this offseason.
I guess. Sure. If you want to look at it logically, that's probably the right answer.
Now
it
again,
doesn't line up.
June 14th to June 16th. That's when voluntary becomes mandatory. So if they're really, really wanting to push this narrative of hey, we want the contract sooner rather than later. I mean, there's two choices, two ways you can go. Do you want to play nice and show up?
Yeah.
But again, that doesn't jive with everything they've done this offseason.
And it really is, how hardcore are you going to be reacting to Steve Keim's statement that we're going to try to get something done? Because if you believe that as the portal and the entry point to a contract, then maybe you would show up. Mm-hmm. Just to go, okay, you know what? I'm going to believe you, and to prove it, I'm going to show up here.
Yes. Here I am, meeting you halfway.
Right. Yeah.
Where are you?
Right. Where are you?
You know, I got a problem with the whole use of the word voluntary. We all have experience where something's voluntary and you're more than expected
really
to do
voluntary.
It.
Voluntary, yes. That is the truth.
Surveys.
Sports things. Whoa.
Survey said.
Surveys. What do we know about that? Let's stick with the topic of Kyler Murray and the new contract that he is after. LeSean McCoy, the former NFL running back, he was on with Colin Cowherd a couple days ago talking about Kyler Murray and the Cardinals situation. And he said he does not think that the quarterback should hold out for a contract.
You know, we had some up and down times, I think. And we all know he's pretty good. He has to wait. Just wait it out, man. And he'll get that. I think he's in that top 10, you know, 6 to 10 more.
Yeah.
Because I think the top guy's like 50 million, et cetera, 45. So I think he'd be around that 40 plus. He'll be good, man. Just wait. Wait your turn. You'll get your money.
Okay.
Easy for Shady to say.
Do you think Kyler Murray should hold out or not?
You mean once we get to the season, if nothing's done?
Yes. Yes.
I don't think it'll come to that. I think they'll play hardball now.
Mm. So this will be sewn up by week one.
One way or the other. I mean, either he's getting his contract or he's going to play under the current one. Maybe. It's so hard to have a vibe on it.
Yeah. I don't know how to answer what I think he should do because I'm way too biased. I mean, idea of watching a football season without him as quarterback of the Cardinals, that's going to be a 4-win season. And
yes.
I have no interest in that.
For as much as Kyler Murray has frustrated some Cardinals fans, think about the alternative.
Right.
Who was the last quarterback to hold out? Kelly Stauffer?
That's a good question.
No, yeah. I really don't even know. Should have looked
that up. Carson Palmer retired because he didn't want to play there and he wanted to go somewhere else.
But
David Johnson
exactly
had his half-assed holdout. Remember that?
That was like right around now, right?
You remember that holdout?
No, I want to wash that whole period of time out of my brain.
Uh-huh. Okay, then we'll move on from David Johnson and the Cardinals.
36 songs begged a different
name. As a whole, was it
the double album?
Yeah, you could release your double album set.
Oh, my God.
Another album. Shut up, Jared.
Yeah, drop that album right into the trash. Let's go to the NBA. The Warriors are now up 3-0 on the Dallas Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals. Golden State took Game 3 last night, 109-100. They play Game 4, which could potentially be the clincher, tomorrow night in Dallas. Here is Steve Kerr, head coach of the Warriors, after last night's win.
This is probably our best stretch of the season where we've been able to put together really good lineups, different combinations that maybe we weren't able to get to the regular season. And we've got a lot of guys playing at a high level right now.
So Steve Kerr says the Warriors are playing their best basketball. We're seeing their best game right now and at the right time, which was, as we have established, the complete opposite of what we saw from the Phoenix Suns, you know, losing their last stretch of the regular season and then just not looking like themselves at all in their Pelicans and Mavericks series. So I'm going to ask you to, suspend disbelief a little bit, or use your imagination, I guess, if it had been the Phoenix Suns of the regular season playing that way in the playoffs, how do you think a Suns-Warriors Western Conference Finals would have gone?
Oof. I thought it was going to be epic. I really did. I thought it was going to be a seven-game series. I thought the trash-talking was going to be legendary. Mm. I thought the heat coming off the series would be unbelievable. Phoenix and the Valley would absolutely be hating Draymond Green. The Bay Area would be hating Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Jay Crowder. We'd be complaining about officials. They'd be complaining about officials. It would be thick.
We'd be on Scott Foster watch every night.
Every night, Scott Foster watch.
We'd be complaining about bias in broadcasters. So would they.
All of it. All of it.
Booker versus Curry.
And it's the fact that it didn't happen is just gutting to me. Gutting.
But it also kind of shines a light on the whole regular season question. The Warriors going into the playoffs, they got it together late. They won their last five, but they were 11-13 over their last 24 regular season games. They weren't exactly striking fear into anybody, and they, like you heard Steve Kerr say it, they turned it on. I think had it come to that, even if the Suns found a way to get past Dallas in Game 7, with everything that we had seen through those two series, I would probably have given a slight advantage to Golden State because they're just playing better basketball. I don't think they're untouchable. I don't think they're unbeatable. They're too good for Dallas, and I think the Suns would have given them a better series, but Dallas earned the right to be there.
Yeah, and the bragging rights that would have come out of that thing, we remember how nutty that Western Conference Finals was against the Clippers last year. Mm-hmm. This would have been that times five. Oh. It would have been unbelievable.
Absolutely.
It also would have been like fighting for which team will stake claim to the team of the Western Conference for the next few years.
Yeah. Let's go to golf, finally, to wrap up today's edition of the Rush Hour Reboot. Wow. Justin Thomas. Wow. He came from seven strokes back to force a playoff against Will Zalatoris. He ended up winning that three-hole playoff. What did you guys think about that performance yesterday?
Well, I think a couple things. I think he didn't come roaring back on anyone. He posted the number and everybody collapsed in front of him. There was going to be a conclusion to the PGA Championship between a bunch of guys nobody cares about or have heard of. And here comes Justin Thomas into the playoffs because the field came back to him. I think a lot of things about it. I think that I think the PGA Championship needed it. I think Justin Thomas needed it. I think there's way too much parity in golf right now. This sport badly needs somebody to step up and be the dude that everyone is chasing. And there's not that guy right now. And the tour misses that.
Yeah, I think Bick's assessment is right. I mean, Thomas shot a 3-under in the final round, which is commendable. It's not earth-shattering. I think it was just a matter of everybody else falling apart. But not a bad weekend to shoot a 3-under in your final round and go home with $2.7 million.
If Will Zalatoris hadn't made a putt late, a really important putt to force a playoff, Justin Thomas would have won a major golf tournament after being in the clubhouse for about an hour. And that's bad. Mm-hmm. That's not good. That's not good for television.
I don't know if we'll get to it, but Tiger pulling out before the fourth round.
Yes. Yeah.
Got a problem with that or no?
No, his body could not hang. I think him making the cut on Friday was one of the more courageous things I've seen him do. And Rory McIlroy, who played with him, gushed about the fact. He's like, I would have never even tried to play. He's got issues with that right leg. It's not right.
Carry on.
Yeah, no, so I don't know when we're going to see him next. I mean, maybe the British Open. He knows that course very well. Yeah. So we'll see.
But you didn't get your Sunday with Tiger.
I didn't.
No. Oh,
I was not the least bit surprised. He was really struggling on Saturday. Struggling.
79.
Ugh.
Thank you, Sarah. We're all rebooted. Thanks to Sarah Cazell and the Rush Hour Reboot every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, the experts are saying it. Is it true? Is Golden State just too good for the Dallas Mavericks? We'll get into that. More NBA talk next. Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta.
Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
When you look at these two teams, there's such a difference in the number of legitimate big-time weapons. Guys that can beat you on every platform offensively. They can beat you with catch and shoots. They can beat you off the dribble. They can beat you with playmaking for other people. You know, Wiggins was sensational tonight. There's nights he's their fourth best offensive player, and he played in the All-Star game this year. And then Draymond Green is a future Hall of Famer out there facilitating on both ends. So it just comes down to too many things you have to deal with when you play the Golden State Warriors. And I thought Dallas's issues in this series were going to be on Golden State's offensive end of the floor. We talked so much about defending Luka. The truth of the matter is, I knew Dallas was going to have a very difficult time guarding Golden State. They just have too many weapons, too many ways to beat you.
It's Tim Legler from ESPN breaking down the Western Conference Finals, which now are a 3-0 advantage for the Golden State Warriors. They win the first game in Dallas last night by 9 points. It was a weird game of runs where, you know, Dallas jumped out to a lead, Golden State came back, Dallas came back to get it close,
and yeah,
then, Golden State pulled away. But I don't think that that's too far off. Golden State, I think, is a much better team than what Dallas is. Even though it's a 3 seed and mm-hmm. a 4 seed, and there was a 1-game difference in the regular season records, I just think Golden State's more equipped to deal with this. And
well,
Dallas
that's clearly the case.
Dallas is it doesn't take a rocket scientist to break down when they're good. When they're hitting their threes, they're good. They hit 28% of their threes last night. They're not going to win. And they got production from more than just Luka last night. I mean, Dinwiddie, he's all or nothing. He had 26 last night. And Brunson had 20 points, but nobody else scored in double figures.
Well, look, in Game 2, Dallas got 40-plus from Luka. They had role players shoot 50% from three-point line or better.
Yeah.
They had 30 from Jalen Brunson, and it still wasn't enough to win.
Yeah, they had 73 points from their starting backcourt.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the three-point numbers. Yeah. That had to be demoralizing.
Had to have been. And so yesterday's game kind of felt like the Mavs were trying to do to the Warriors what they did to the Suns with the crowd, the three-point shot, the taking over a game, and Golden State just wouldn't let it happen. And that was the fundamental thing that kind of made me nauseated yesterday, was bringing me back to where the Suns failed and the Warriors are not having much trouble dealing with them.
Yeah, I think that
hurts, man.
They'll never admit it, but the Warriors, because they are a team with so much championship DNA,
mm-hmm.
and they got three core guys in Curry, Thompson and Green that have won just a boatload of championships together, they'd never admit it, but they're probably glad they're not playing Phoenix.
Oh, and are they ever going to crow? Hey, listen, the fact of that Warriors team winning a championship, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really, really bad.
I'm openly rooting for them right now in this series, but you're right. If they do climb the mountain again,
it's going to be bad.
The level of worship that franchise will get.
That is going to drive us crazy. The adoration, the re-coronation, the smack that Draymond is going to talk whenever the Suns come up.
I think just the fact that all the national pundits were right, if that happens. That it doesn't matter what happens in the regular season. Once Golden State is healthy, they're the team that's going to win. Just wait and see.
What I hate most about this is if I'm right that something marginalized Chris Paul, I hate what's happening to him right now. I absolutely hate it. It is so disrespectful for what he's brought to this individual situation. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it's still hard to figure out, and we're 8 days removed from the exit for the Suns, and there's still a ton of questions on what the heck happened. I can't go anywhere. If I go anywhere and I run into somebody I know, or I run into somebody I don't know, all they want to talk about is the Suns.
Of course.
That's all they want to talk about.
People are clamoring for anything to make sense of what we just witnessed, because the difference between what this team did in the regular season compared to what they did and how they looked and how lethargic Chris Paul, how dead his eyes were, how lethargic he was, how he couldn't get to his spot, It was so depressing. And you're right. When you start talking, see, and it gets, now it's all framed on, can the Suns really rely so much on a 37 year old? And yeah, it's real. It's real. But at the same time, I mean, what he's done to get this to the level it's at in Phoenix, it didn't get the attention it deserved last year in the MVP balloting. It's not getting the attention it deserves now by how quickly people are turning on him. And for quasi-Suns fans to be hating on him and burning his jersey, I'm like, come on, man. I mean, and now if I'm wrong and he just broke down, and if I'm wrong and he just can't play at that level in the postseason, then yeah, we got a problem.
But shut up, Jared. Play at that level in the postseason.
That's what I'm saying. We just saw it. But now, are they relying too much on him? Undoubtedly, you've got a scheme against that.
Especially because this happens every postseason.
It's happened
postseason.
Twice.
Well, I made
every
that
postseason with the Suns.
But it's happened five times to Chris Paul.
I made the point after game four. The Suns need to put themselves in a situation where they don't have to rely on Chris Paul because it was a little bit concerning. The optics of what was going on was a little concerning. And they found a way in game five where he didn't do much offensively, and they won by 30 points. In game six and seven, they didn't have anybody else step up.
No.
And that is disappointing.
It is. And so it's really kind of clouded the view on everyone. So what you really need to do, if you were the general manager of this team, I would have to back away and get my mind right before you make these decisions. But again, they're operating with a lot better information than we are. They know exactly what happened. They know exactly what happened.
Yeah, Tim McMahon, who writes for ESPN. He was on the Hoop Collective podcast, too, and talking about the Suns' playoff failure, where the blame should lie. He said it should be an equal share for a couple of players.
It's Devin Booker's franchise, and I feel like their playoff failure is being put more at Chris Paul's feet when, if anything, it's at least, you know, there's got to be at least equal responsibility in Burr. And I'm not saying Booker's shirking the responsibility, but I just feel like the kind of the discussion is more CP3, 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 and I understand it because that window is shrinking where Booker's still got a long career ahead of him. But this was also, you know, this was about Devin Booker, who was, you know, at least on, you know, he finished fourth or fifth, whatever it was, an MVP candidate, coming up very, very small.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I think everybody deserves blame, but it's got to be. And people are so desperate now to find reasons for what happened. I mean, I got hit with a barrage of tweets over the weekend. Hey, read this report that Devin Booker was heartbroken because he broke up with Kendall Jenner. Kendall Jenner broke up with her. They're on a break. No, they're in Italy together at a wedding. And then other people are saying, oh, he couldn't miss the Italy wedding, so that's why he didn't play well.
Some people are saying they broke up and then they reconciled. And all of that created a massive swirl in his life personally. I don't go there. Devin Booker has proven to be as professional as anybody. What he does in his free time is wholly up to him.
Absolutely.
When I look at Devin Booker, though, you can't jaw and clown Luka Doncic in game five and then come back with games six and seven. You cannot do that.
It's a painful lesson, but it's one that he will learn from.
I hope.
I have no doubt.
I really, really hope. Like I said, early on in game seven, Luka had one foul. Luka contested a fadeaway jumper from Devin Booker. Devin Booker put his own ass on the floor. He didn't get the call, and he got up and he ran after the official. Jay Crowder had to stop him. You know you were there. And that moment, I'm like, he's burning too hot. He's focusing on the wrong. He needs to take that gene of his and funnel that into his performance. That is the next step for that guy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you it is.
Yep. Arizona Sports and True Spec Golf are teeing up Dad this Father's Day. Text Dad to 620-620 for your chance to win a full bag of custom fit clubs courtesy of True Spec Golf. Once again, text Dad to 620-620 to get entered. We're halfway through on this Monday. Bick's got the blast next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.